When you imagine an encounter with God, what do you think of? What do you think being embraced by the presence of God might feel like? Many, if not most of us, I imagine, would expect that moment to be full of joy and peace, maybe an overwhelming sense of love, maybe a little tinge of fear that comes with awe. I wonder if Jacob shared any of those same ideas, and if he did, according to the story that we hear today, he was in for a very big surprise. And so might we be. Last week and this week, we're looking at two ancient encounters with God. Settings when at first it might seem that God was absent in the dark of night during episodes of great stress and anxiety, times that actually may turn out to be when we experience the most extraordinary and most transformative encounters with God. And the two ancient examples that we look at are both drawn from the story of Jacob, one of the most pivotal characters in all of biblical history, in ancient Jewish history. Two of the most pivotal moments in Jacob's story are, in fact, two famous nighttime encounters that he has with God. Last week, if you were here, you'll recall that we looked at the story of Jacob's famous dream, where he is running away for fear of his life from his older brother Esau. He dreams of this ladder which stretches from earth to heaven, full of angels ascending and descending. And that encounter calls him to call this place, which was just an ordinary place, no longer ordinary, but Beth-El, the house of God. And today, we hear about the other surprising nighttime encounter that Jacob has with God, the all-night wrestling match with the divine. So to quickly recap Jacob up to this point, Jacob is one of the most central figures in biblical history. He is on the short list of the, quote, ancient founding forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was one of the two sons of Isaac. He was the father of Joseph, famed for his many-colored coat. Jacob is himself a colorful and complex and intriguing character. He is one of those first examples of God choosing the most unexpected person, perhaps a person we would think is questionable. He has constant rivalry with his older brother, his barely older twin brother Esau, whom he tricked out of his birthright and then cheated him out of his blessing, and he fled home in fear of his brother's rage, in fear for his life. So it's after his famous ladder dream, Jacob makes his way to the land of his mother's brother, his uncle Laban. And Jacob spends 20 years working for his uncle. And during those 20 years, he marries two wives, Leah and Rachel, and he becomes wealthy and successful. And his successes, we might add, somewhat acquired through some shady tricks along the way, lead to, again, dangerous tensions with the family, dangerous tensions with his uncles and his cousin. So Jacob is on the run once again. Now he's hoping to return home to the family that he left so long ago. But now he has a household and a family and servants and herds all in tow while he's running. He knows that he's going to have to deal with this unfinished business he has with his older brother, from whom he ran away in fear 20 years before. And it's before the nighttime scene that we hear today, he has sent presents and messengers ahead to appease his brother. And they come back and say, "Your brother is coming to meet you with 400 men. Yikes! Jacob is rightly anxious. Wouldn't you be? He sends his family safely across the river, and remains behind, alone by himself in the desert at night. Once again, anxious, his past coming back to haunt him. Again, afraid for his life. If anyone needed a visit from God, it was Jacob. But the way God showed up was completely surprising. It's the kind of encounter that has captured our imagination for generations, this image of the nighttime wrestling between Jacob and this unnamed divine figure. We sang it in the hymn only a few minutes ago. It's been rendered in art and poetry across the centuries. It's odd. It's compelling. It reminds us of how we wrestle at night with God. And I think it reveals some important things and surprising things about God. In the story, this unnamed, quote, man shows up. The story makes no bones about saying over and again, it was a man. They wrestle all night long, neither one willing to let go of the other. And Jacob insists, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, in the end, it's unclear if either of them exactly won. And it's even pretty tantalizing to think that Jacob might have prevailed had he not wrenched his hip. Neither lost or won, but Jacob came away different. Tradition often interprets this wrestler as an angel. During that wrestling match, Jacob becomes aware that this is no mere human being. It seems that he believes it is no longer an angel even. In the end, it sounds as though he is convinced that it is God because he exclaims, I have seen the face of God and lived. He names the spot Peniel, the face of God. And what an unexpected face. Not a distant, sublime, serene, or even judgy God. This is hand to hand, face to face, conflict, strain, sweat, struggle. Unexpected. But lest we forget the struggle. Jacob is marked by it. Yes, he walks away with a limp, but he is marked by a new name. His name is changed, a name that is still borne by all of his descendants, Israel, one who strives with God. Israel, God strives. A name that will forever recall that wrestling with God is at the heart of who he was. A struggle that is at the heart of all of his descendants. A struggle that is in the DNA of our religious identity as well. So whenever I read this story, while it is not entirely certain, I cannot help but come away with the impression that it seems to be God who started the fight. It feels a little bit like that God just sort of showed up and picked a fight with Jacob. It's as if Jacob didn't already have enough to deal with. Here, God is mixing it up with him. It makes me feel like saying, God, will you pick on someone your own size? In our spiritual lives, don't we yearn for an up-close and personal relationship with God? We want a relationship with God who will hold our hand when we're afraid, who will embrace us and comfort us when we're in pain. We do not generally want a God who gets in our face and fights with us. But here, the Bible gives us that image, that face of God, as an anonymous wrestler. This is a God of the Bible who is not afraid to sweat and get dirty hands by entering into the struggle of human experience. Jacob was going through what could only be described as a dark night of the soul. He had conflicts within himself, conflicts without, uncertainty, unknown. Yet this visitation from God does not offer a pat on the hand saying, "It'll be all right, honey." This is also not a God who miraculously intervenes and makes Jacob's problems evaporate. But in the hour of Jacob's greatest fear and greatest need and vulnerability, God comes and binds to him, not with a promise that the struggle is over, but with the example of struggling with him, no matter what. I think this is an Emmanuel moment, a God with us story. Through hours of wrestling, it's not only Jacob who doesn't let go, it is God who doesn't let go. God doesn't fix the problem, but stays this close in the middle and the mix and the mud of the struggle. Every spiritual tradition has to deal with the reality of suffering and struggling. The truth is that nobody gets an easy time of it. Nobody gets an easy time of it. Certainly not all the time. Be it personal struggles with illness or disease, broken or toxic relationship, losses and griefs, unemployment, it may be struggles against oppressive systems, structures that exclude or devalue or minimize. Our struggles are endless. And even those who appear to us that they're coasting along on easy street may have inner demons and challenges that go unseen by others. No one escapes the struggle. In fact, the first of the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism is that all life is struggling, all life is suffering, whichever translation you prefer. The response of our Jewish and Christian tradition to this spiritual truth is that God doesn't provide the pathway out of struggling, but God meets us in the struggling, shares the struggling, and transforms it and us. Isn't that what turns out to be the story of Jesus of Nazareth? This scene with Jacob tells us that even when our heart's desire might be for peaceful deliverance, God may have something else in mind. You know those commercials? Are they still on TV? I think so. With the big red easy button. Like, press the easy button. We want easy button spirituality. We want easy button religion. Quick fixes, escape hatches. We want a God that will get us through it all without having to go through it all. We want a nice and polite God, and we get a God who shows up and says, "Bring it." Bring everything that you have. Jacob is not wrestling with a polite God. does not have a reserved spiritual relationship. It is fully embodied. This is a God who is big enough, a God who is strong enough, a God who is committed enough, not just for us to love and worship, but a God for our toughest questions, our hardest losses, our deepest grief and pain, a God who isn't afraid of our anger, even our rage, a God who is strong enough to wrestle with any problem we confront, a God who will not let go of us, no matter how hard we struggle. The story of Jacob is a challenge. And it's a promise. You know, after a night of wrestling, Jacob walked away limping and exhausted. He came away a new person with a new name. He knew he had seen and held God and lived. But not just that. After this dark night of fear and contending with God, after 20 years, Jacob saw his brother Esau, along with the 400 that came with him. And what happened? Esau, his long estranged brother, who initially had sought to kill him, Esau ran to Jacob, embraced him, and wept. We are promised a God who loves us enough not to wave a magic wand and fix all of our problems the way we want them fixed, but a God who's going to meet us, who will struggle with us and not let go. Will we, like our ancestor, hold on, wrestle until we're blessed, contend with this mysterious, strong presence, and insist, I will not let you go?